I want to share from Isaiah 32, the last of a few messages in Isaiah and visions. This is Isaiah 32, verses 1 through 4. It says, "See, a king will reign in righteousness, and rulers will rule with justice. Each one will be like a shelter from the wind and a refuge from the storm, like streams of water in the desert and the shadow of a great rock in a thirsty land. Then the eyes of those who see will no longer be closed, and the ears of those who hear will listen. The faithful heart will know and understand, and the stammering tongue will be fluent and clear." We hear of a great, wonderful king that is coming. And we know this king is Jesus. But it's neat to see back when they weren't sure and they didn't know what to look for. One thing I see here in this passage about this king is that he reigns well. He does his job well. And not only is he just, but he is good. And his reign is good. Good for us. I remember when I was a kid, occasionally I had to eat something or drink something that was good for me. I didn't always like it. But the thing you hear in this scripture is that the people can tell that God's reign is good for them. They enjoy it. Some of us have gotten verdicts or summations or settlements or justice and wondered, is this good? I shared one of those stories this morning. Not always. But his reign is good. Jesus' reign is good. Verse 3 is interesting because it talks about eyes and ears. And if you know Isaiah's story, he was commissioned years before this to go to a people. And he's given this amazing vision. God's presence fills the temple and overfills it. And he tells them, or he's told by God that he's going to go to a people. They will hear but not understand. They will see but they won't perceive. So Isaiah is going to have this frustration. He's going to come up against kind of a brick wall as he has his message to share. And then we hear that when the king comes, eyes will be open and ears will listen. And so there's this fulfillment that will happen because of good King Jesus. You know, we get many, many messages wrong as humans. I heard recently about a new term called a malaphor. It's like a metaphor that's done wrongly, you know, like someone tries to say a turn of phrase and they mangle it completely. So it's a malaphor. So, you know, you've heard the phrase, it isn't rocket science, or it's not brain surgery. If you mix those two up, you say, it's not rocket surgery here, guys. Or how about, we'll burn that bridge when we come to it. Or until the cows freeze over. Or maybe not the sharpest egg in the shed. Or you can take one man's trash to another man's treasure, but you can't make it drink. Kids, you might have to ask parents about that one. You've opened this can of worms, now lie in it. There you go. That's a malaphor. Sometimes we stutter and stumble and we get things wrong in the message, right? But Isaiah is promising that won't happen, that when the king comes, the message will come through loud and clear. And so the king does what is good for us. We hear these beautiful images of a shelter from the wind, and a refuge from the storm. Streams of water in the desert, and in the shadow, in a thirsty land. You know, we hear this king, the king and his good reign. And the one thing I hear through all of that, just beating solidly and steadily, is a heart of love. God's heart of love for his people. As he comes to kind of each one and gives us what we need. This king would be effective. Isaiah 55, verses 10 through 11, put it this way. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Lots of leaders have a message and they speak the message and the message gets muddled up or it doesn't get carried through by those who are in charge under the leader. But God's word will not get muddled up and messed up. It will be effective as the spring rains. And his love will come in that, and his care for us. In Jesus, the King will have a productive reign and effective for us. We can rest in his shelter. Our King will rule in love. Anybody testify to that tonight? Amen. Who's experienced the love of King Jesus? There was a time we went off to grad school in Kansas City, Nicole and I, and we, about a year in, we found out we were pregnant, and I still had my first vehicle, a 1987 Ford Ranger. I don't know if it's anybody else's first vehicle. It worked for a first vehicle. For those of you who are older, that was an old vehicle when I went off to grad school, just so you know, do the math for you. It had just had a reconditioned engine, but I knew it wasn't going to live forever. And we were pregnant and at church on a Sunday morning, and they announced in the bulletin and out loud, they announced that Eric and Nicole are registered at Target. But we were not registered yet at Target. So we jumped in that vehicle, and we drove 20 minutes after church. We drove to Target, and we did our thing and ran the scanner, and you know how you do. Got back in the car, and we were on our way back, and I heard a little problem in the vehicle. There was a ping. Now, I knew the things I had fixed, but I didn't know very much about vehicles at that point. And so we're driving, I heard this ping, and I got a little stressed. Now, as a dad-to-be and a new husband, this was our only vehicle, and we live thousands of miles away from our parents and family and anybody other than the people we had just met that year and a half we were there. And so we were driving, and I'm nervous, and I'm sweating, and I'm thinking, you know, I just got to get home here. And I heard a second ping, and I started to get nervous. I felt kind of a low rumble in the car, and we're driving along, and I slow down a little bit, throw on the flashers, and I think, I don't know anything between here and there. There's no reason to stop, and I do not want to walk. Nicole is quite pregnant. And so we're driving, and I heard a third ping, and then it got real rough. And I thought, you know, if this vehicle doesn't even make it all the way home, I can just, there's plenty of shoulder here. We can just abandon it by the side of the road right here. We'll be fine. I'm not emotionally tied to this vehicle at all. And I'm thinking, I think we'll be okay. And I heard, as we were getting close to our exit, I heard a fourth ping. And I slammed on the brakes when something fell. And I stopped as fast as I could and pulled over. And we got out, and I looked underneath the vehicle, and there attached to the drive shaft was the transfer case, my four-wheel drive, little pickup. There it was. It just fell. So I don't know which parts pinged and fell off, but we both got out, and I could have wept in that moment thinking, we don't have a vehicle. What are we going to do? But I knew that one of our parents, sets of parents, had already found us a vehicle. And the other set's parent, one, my dad was going to drive with me back. And so God had perfectly and completely provided. And so when I looked under the vehicle and saw the transfer case sitting there, I laughed out of joy, knowing that it could have been so much worse, but God was providing for us. And that white Jeep came. Well, I brought it a few weeks later, and we were just fine. But we experienced in that very nervous and stressful time as new parents, God's provision. And just want to say, God will take care of you as well. He loves us so much. I heard a neat story of a man about 100 years ago who did not know how to read and lived in England, was converted at a Salvation Army meeting, and so he began attending the meetings. And he went there, and his wife wasn't quite sure what was going on, but she knew it was for the best, and he was happy and doing well. And one day he came home from one of those meetings a little ruffled, and she said, well, what's going on? And he said, well, they all have red sweaters there, and I don't have a red sweater. So being a loving wife, she knitted him a red sweater. And he was glad, so he put it on. He wore that new red sweater there to the next meeting and returned home again, and she saw his face and said, well, now what's wrong, honey? And he said, you know what? They all have yellow writing on their red sweaters, and I don't. And he was not able to read, and she wasn't able to read. And so she wasn't sure what to do, so she thought, well, what's a good message? What should I put on there? And she found, in the shop window, she found some letters, and she copied them on the sweater. She embroidered it on there for him. And he went to his next meeting with that red sweater. He came home, and she looked at his face, and he had a big smile on his face. And she asked, did they like the sweater? Oh, yes, he said. They liked it very much. They liked it better than the writing on theirs. He didn't know that what was written on his sweater was under new management. I just want to say today that in Christ, we're all under new management. We can celebrate the King. God loves us very much. And to really celebrate the King, we have to let him be King in us and for us. I want to share with you a quote before I'm done here. Spurgeon says, "Rejoice, you who feel lost. Your Savior comes to seek and save you. Be of good cheer, you who are in prison, for he comes to set you free. You who are famished and ready to die, rejoice that he has consecrated for you a Bethlehem, a house of bread, and he has come to be the bread of life to your souls. Rejoice, O sinners, everywhere, for the restorer of the castaways, the Savior of the fallen, is born." Amen. And he loves us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in your care and your love for us. Lord, there's times when it's hard to discern what you're looking for us and what is good for us. But thank you that you have the best for us in mind. Bless us by your kingship, we ask, that we can love you and serve you all the days of our life. In Jesus' name, amen.